Welcome back to the podcast, you beautiful soul. I've got an absolute legend on the podcast today. He's a little bit sore from some wounds from table tennis last night, but we'll touch on that before we kick into the podcast. I've got Daniel, Dr. Daniel Kirkbride joining me today. He's an osteo, a health consultant, and he's got such a wealth of knowledge. I caught up with this man a couple of weeks ago, and just the level of knowledge he has from health, vitality, wellness, but also the cause of health challenges that I've experienced, my partner experiences, so many people experience. He's got a motto that I am the final destination in your health journey, and he helps people where the traditional health system has failed them. And again, there's going to be so much knowledge today, guys. So if you want to improve your health, maximize your health, cognitive function, vitality, performance, energy, and all the above, maybe some conspiracies, we might dip into that here and there. Daniel, thanks for joining me today, my man.
Thanks, mate. Appreciate the intro. Good to be here. I'm a bit sore from last night.
Yeah, mate. Give us a quick rundown of table tennis last night, mate. What went wrong? Tell us the situation and what happened.
Oh, mate, a classic case of overconfidence I remember being 2017 up and thinking I can hit a few winners here. I've got a few mistakes in the bag, a bit of luxury, a bit of breathing space. And then, luxury turned into choking very fast.
Right, mate, that's just the first of many tournaments that we'll be having, mate. So, mate, let's hear your story, man. I know we've connected a couple of times in the last couple of weeks when we've connected. So, mate, what's your story in a nutshell?
Yeah, man, I'll try and keep it pretty short and sweet for the listeners. I started off in the industry as a personal trainer, did my Cert 3-4 straight out of high school, was always super interested in training and sport. Didn't really have a clue of what I wanted to do, didn't know what osteopathy was until I was actually in third year uni. So very much was winging it, just kind of knew that I enjoyed health, enjoyed training, enjoyed helping people. So started off the journey as a PT, studied osteopathy at RMIT in Melbourne whilst I was working as a PT. And then, third year uni was when I finally was like, hey, I'm 3 years into this 5-year degree. I should probably figure out what an osteo actually does and sought out an osteo and started doing some work experience then. So, did my osteo degree, finished my degree. By that stage, I'd had a pretty established PT business. I was working out of a good life around my area in Melbourne. Opened up a practice in Melbourne, which was combining osteopathy, some traditional, I guess, hands-on treatment, can go into what osteos do later. I know a lot of people don't know what we do. And then personal training, rehabilitation. So that was sort of my wheelhouse for, I'd say, the better half of the last decade. And then, more recently, since sort of 2020, as we talked about, came across a few patients that were quite challenging that I wasn't able to help and had a bit of an ego check. And then that sent me down the holistic health functional medicine pathway of looking into how all these other systems and things are integrated. So, and that kind of brings me here today. So yeah, it's been a good solid 10-year journey of going from lifting barbells to fixing backs to now helping people with their health issues.
Beautiful, man. And mate, there's a lot of, like I was saying in the intro, you've got, we caught up, guys, for the guys listening, we caught up, I think 3 weeks ago, give or take. And we sat next to each other and I was just like, we should have put the microphone down just then. And it was just so many tangents and so much wells of, I guess, knowledge on particular topics. So, mate, I'd like to jump into some of them with you. I've actually got a question on osteo, I guess the general public. What is osteo compared to like a physio or a chiropractor?
Yeah, so traditional osteopathic medicine originated in America, a guy called Andrew Taylor Still, who a lot of his principles are actually very like modern day functional medicine principles. So it's a very holistic view of the human body. We're looking at how all the different systems of the body communicate and interrelate to then cause a certain presentation or symptom that someone's experiencing. So if someone was to come and see me or your traditional osteopath, we're not just going to look at the symptom or the area that you're presenting with. We're going to look into not only the other areas of the body like musculoskeletally, but we generally would then look at the other systems. So things like your nervous system, your immune system, your gut health, your endocrine system, your hormones, and how these other systems might be potentially influencing the symptom or pain or injury you're presenting with. So I think the difference is really going to be who you see. Like, I practice different to other osteopaths. there's certain physios that practice similar to how I practice. So at the end of the day, I think it comes down to doing your research of who you see and how they practice. But if we were to generalize it, you know, osteo will tend to be a little bit more holistic and apply some of those functional medicine principles, versus physio tends to be very musculoskeletal, acute injury. They're generally going to be a lot better at strength, rehab, acute injury, return to sport. And then chiropractors are generally going to be very focused on the nervous system and the spinal alignment and, you know, adjustments and some rehab stuff. So we have a lot of similarities. We're all kind of like cousins, but I guess it depends on more so like when you finish uni, what's the pathway you take? Because when we all finish uni, we all do very similar things. We all learn very similar principles. And then it's kind of like, well, you know, what pathway do you want to go down? Are you more interested in the nervous system? Are you more interested in training? Are you more interested in, you know, pre-postnatal? So yeah, I think that's my journey and how I've taken the principles of osteo and then applied it with my own sort of experience and interests and got me to this point now.
Beautiful, man. And what's the bit in the journey? So I found this, it's kind of the theme of some of the things we spoke about when we caught up at dinner. What was the journey to go from like the personal trainer to like, I guess there was iterations of you, but to get to a point where you're more holistic and spiritual and you're combining more than just sort of like the, not nuts and bolts, but the more sort of physical things like your muscles, your joints and bones, to now incorporating more like your immune system, your holistic aspect, the spirituality aspect of things. What was that journey like for you? And was there, and the reason I'm asking this is like, I've been someone who's been, I guess, anti woo woo crystals energy aspect. It's about, I've got a football background, just train fucking hard, eat your protein. that's kind of my background. But now I'm working with a Reiki healer, like we spoke about that yesterday, or I literally had a session yesterday. So I'd like to know your journey and actually share maybe some light bulbs you've had a bit along the way, maybe like shifting or breaking your paradigm of, I guess, what is health, like from a closed-mindedness to more open, there's more holistic, there's more things at play. What was your journey like to go through there?
Yeah, man, I think it's always funny when you look back on old versions of you. I was very similar to you in the sense of, footy backgrounds, you know, train hard, work hard, eat your protein, deadlift heavy, didn't agree with the woo-woo stuff, even a lot of nutrition stuff these days. It's like, you know, I used to think all that stuff was kind of bullshit and one percenters, but now 5 years later, well, 10 years later, it's like a very different story. So, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of it was just driven by personal experience and anecdotal experience. Like I was actually quite overweight as a 14, 15 year old, went on my sort of weight loss journey. And then, you know, that sparked my interest in training and gym, then playing footy and being sort of around high performance was then sparked the sort of interest in S&C and training in that sense. Yeah, got into osteo, that was all rehabilitation. So then it was all hyper-focused on joint health and stability and mobility. And I think back when I first started osteo in like 2018, it was very like niche, the whole rehab space. Like there wasn't many practitioners doing rehab. Like osteo was treatment, hands-on therapy, maybe some glute exercises and core activation. And that was it. So I feel like I was one of the first in that space to really go into the rehab. And now it's good to see 5 years later, everyone's kind of, you know, it's almost gold standard. You see an osteo, you're expecting a rehab program and some training. It's no longer just good enough to get a crack and a rub. So that was how I got into that. And then, yeah, the holistic health space was, again, driven by my own issues. I was quite, I wouldn't say sick, but I was suffering pretty bad in 2020 with some like chronic fatigue issues. And at the time, again, I was like, I have chronic fatigue, but I had no idea what that means. And, you know, years later, if we go into that, it's like chronic fatigue is just a symptom and there's a lot of problems under the hood that cause that chronic fatigue. So for me, I went through my own journey of like seeing doctors and asking for blood tests, you know, you're all good. Your blood tests are fine. You know, it's all in your head, you know, maybe you're depressed, seeing different practitioners, you know, losing faith in the medical system, then going down the alternative pathway of like working with holistic coaches and, you know, more of these functional medicine practitioners to then spend thousands on tests and thousands on supplements to not get any better or get better temporarily, but not sort of solve the problem. So yeah, kind of went through my own journey there, of just not being in a great state of health and spending lots of time, money, effort, and pain to solve it. And then at the same time, that was when I came across a few patients in my clinic that were ones that I couldn't fix, which really annoyed me. Back then I was like, deadlifts and getting stronger is the solution to every single person that comes into my clinic. And it worked pretty well for 95% of people. And I had a little bit of a chip on my shoulder that I could fix anyone. And people came to see me when no one else could fix them and I could fix them. And then, yeah, three or four people in the space of a month I couldn't fix. And I was like, ah, shit, there might be something else to this. And that was when I started looking into, I guess, other avenues outside of the musculoskeletal system, which musculoskeletal is very much the emphasis at uni for osteo, physio, chiro. As much as like traditionally it is holistic, I guess you've only got so much time in 5 years to teach something. So 90% of the curriculum is very hyper-focused on joint health, muscles, bones, ligaments, tendons. We kind of touch on other things like, oh, by the way, there's this thing that's called a nervous system. It's kind of important, but read that in your own time and we don't have time to cover it. So that kind of led me into the functional medicine space. Complete accident, sort of tripped into it, started helping people that had these more integrated problems, I guess. Like they had back pain, they had knee pain, they had shoulder pain. They didn't come to the clinic and say, hey, I've got a gut issue. They would say, hey, mate, I've got this back issue, but it won't go away. And then it was up to me to sort of, investigate what other systems in the body could be contributing to why this person's presenting with conventional pain or discomfort. And that's sort of been like the last 2 to 3 years. It's taken me where I am now. And now my philosophy is very much, I still respect and love biomechanics, rehab, training. I feel like that's my first baby. It's my child. It's my area of expertise. But blending that with these more traditional concepts of functional medicine, holistic health gives me a really, really high, 3D view of the human body and how we can look at how different avenues might be affecting someone's condition.
Fascinating, man. There's something you mentioned as well, like the curtain was pulled back and you're like, you realized like how little you know and how much there is more to know. What's been some of the most surprising light bulbs or learnings or lessons that you've had since doing your own further study outside of your degree that you've had? What's been some of the big surprises that you weren't expecting?
Yeah, I think it was almost like the way I explained it was almost like a big fish in a small pond, but also like majoring in the minors. It's like, I felt like I was an expert in the musculoskeletal system, but then I was like, oh, the musculoskeletal system's like bottom of the food chain in terms of the hierarchy of systems in the body, which we touched on. So that was my first major realization was, there's all these other systems in the body. And I was learning off a mentor of mine. And he had a very, very good analogy of the human body in terms of how the systems worked. And that was, the immune system is king of the castle, followed closely by your nervous system, followed closely by your lymphatic system, your gut. We then kind of go circulatory system, endocrine system, and then musculoskeletal system. So it's like, well, most of our interventions as a practitioner, myself included, was like, I would be working at the level of the musculoskeletal system, which if people have an acute injury, like, hey, if you play footy on the weekends and some 100-kilo mountain goes through your shoulder and you break your AC joint, it's like, probably makes sense. It's musculoskeletal. But for those people where, I guess, osteo fits into the equation, where it's more like acute on chronic issues or chronic issues that keep coming and going, they don't go away. For those people, it was a bit of a realization because I'm like, all right, well, you probably have issues with 1, 2, and 3. So it's no surprise we're seeing symptoms in, 4, 5, and 6. And if we want to get results in 4, 5, and 6, then how can I improve the quality of 1, 2, and 3? Which is something I'd never come across. It was like,
but I know nothing.
I was like, oh, wow, I'm actually not that smart.
Beautiful, man. Beautiful. And what would be, I guess, a follow-up, two follow-ups to that? What's some of the most common misperceptions from, I guess, people? I'll probably ask that a little bit differently. What's some of the most common challenges that people come in with symptoms, but it's actually coming from something else? Like, I'm not in your specific industry, but I hear a lot about I've got IBS, I've got leaky gut, I've got thyroid issues, I've got there's some of the ones that come to mind. Obviously I'm not in the space, so what's some of the more common ones where it's like you come in and it's like very common these days? Or in my space would probably be people are very anxious, people are very depressed, people are always stressed. They're kind of the ones I would deal with. What are the real common ones for you where they're more so symptoms and it's actually coming from 1, 2, and 3 instead?
Yeah, there's a lot of them, and I think a few of the ones you mentioned just there, I'd say in no particular order, just from the top of my head. IBS is definitely probably number one, I'd say. Like some sort of, I have bloating, I have constipation, diarrhea, food sensitivities, food intolerances, I can't eat dairy, can't eat gluten, can't eat insert food of choice. That's definitely the biggest misconception. People definitely throw the baby out of the bathwater and start to blame the gluten or the dairy when that's, you know, I was having this conversation with Clark yesterday. It's like, if I'm bench pressing and my shoulder hurts, is bench press the problem, or is bench press highlighting that I have an existing problem in my shoulder that I should investigate? So if we take away the bench press temporarily for that 7 to 14 days while we address the underlying issue, you know, then we come back, we reintroduce bench press. We know that it wasn't the bench press that was the problem. It's kind of the same with gluten, dairy, insert food of choice. We go, oh, this bloats me. This makes me go to the toilet. This makes me have brain fog, makes my skin break out. I better remove this and I just can't have it the rest of my life. Or they think it's a gut issue, which even then it's not a gut issue. It's usually an issue higher up. And, you know, we miss essentially the mark of what the problem is. So IBS number one. And then I guess as a reflection of IBS, like, your gut is where 99 out of 100 of your problems originate. So things like skin issues, eczema, acne, hives, dermatitis, things like brain fog, anxiety, depression, poor memory from a neurological point of view, even, you know, joint pain, inflammatory pain for a lot of people, rheumatoid arthritis. So there's a lot of different things that people will present with. And I think the conventional model is to treat the presentation, the symptom, or the name we give to the disease or the problem, versus functional medicine principles is going to be looking at what the root is that's caused that problem, which is usually, you know, stress, increase in cortisol, breakdown of immune system, gut, leaky brain, leaky gut, et cetera. And then we start to get these different presentations and different systems of the body. And then obviously we have different names for these different presentations, and then people focus on trying to suppress the presentation. So if we work backwards, we can start to solve a lot of these issues.
And where do you start? Like, I know, I mean, for people that aren't aware, we're doing some work together. I'm coming as a client, got my bloods done this week. Where would you start for the average person? So say someone's listening to this and say they don't have access to working with you. What can someone do to start to actually, okay, I've had knee pain, back pain, I've had indigestion, IBS, bloating, insert whatever it is. But it's like, I've tried the physios, I've tried the diets, I've tried the fuck, my GP just says, fucking take some Gaviscon to slow down the heartburn or whatever it is. What would you get them to do to actually start to at least highlight and come to awareness? Okay, well, this is actually what's causing the challenge. What would you tell them to do?
Yeah, I think I was saying to you the other night, like 90% of people can improve their symptoms and improve their health by just doing the foundations that are free, don't cost anything, and just need some consistency and awareness. I think it's not, most cases, it's not your fault. Like, yes, obviously your actions are what caused you to be in that position. But at the same time, a lot of people's actions I find that I speak to come from a place that they haven't had the education, which is not their problem. If we look at the basic government education for nutrition and health, it's pretty, you know, piss poor, to put it nicely. So, you know, if you're, a lot of these people think they're doing the right things. They're like, I think I'm eating healthy, I think I'm doing the right things. You know, don't eat red meat because it's bad for you. Don't eat eggs because it's cholesterol, you know, 5-star health rating on Foods and Woolies, you know, don't eat fats because fats are bad. Like, people think they're doing the right thing. And then they start to get these conditions, and then there's a bit of confusion because it's like, well, I'm following all these guidelines, but now I'm in a poor state of health. And then I go see the GP and they kind of disregard me and say, you're normal and it's in your head, and here's some antibiotics, antidepressants, antihistamines, Gaviscon, you know, whatever else they give you, refer to a psychologist. So I think first thing is, it's not your fault. You know, you haven't got the right information. But it is up to you, and it is your responsibility to then source out the right information if you are someone that has a problem. Yeah. So I think, you know, I can forgive people for being in the position they're in, but what I can't forgive is if they decide to stay in that position and they don't seek out the solutions, as I'm sure you disagree with. It's like, yeah, we have all these bad habits, routines, and behaviors that have been instilled from our childhood, from our parents. That's not our fault, but it is our responsibility to solve it. The same thing with health. It's like, it's not our fault that we got here, but it's now your solution to go and seek out the education, the coaching, the information you need to get out of being in a shit state of health. So tangent, but if we go back to what they can do, something I look at when it comes to essentially someone that has poor health or just want to optimize their health, is there's 7 main areas that are going to contribute to stress in the body. The first one's obvious, and this is the one most people think of, which is psychological stress, you know, emotions, finances, relationships, society pressure, social media, all these things where if I asked you, do you feel stressed? You'd be like, yeah, I feel stressed. Or a lot of cases people go, oh, I don't feel stressed. So how can my body be stressed? Like, how can there be inflammation in my body if I don't feel stressed? They're forgetting about the six other areas. And these are usually the areas that I call like the silent killers that people don't think of. And they might only be 1%, 2% in each area, but these areas start to multiply and we start to get a significant increase in total stress in the body. And these areas are, number one, diet. So if we're eating a highly processed diet, if we don't have good education around food, nutrition, we don't have good competency around reading nutrition labels, understanding what we're putting in our body, the food we're eating can either heal us or it can make us, you know, significantly worse and cause all these health problems. And for 9 out of 10 people, their health problem definitely has a component of what they're putting in their mouth. And we're very focused on like, what's the supplement I can take? What's the thing I can do? In most scenarios, it's less about what you add and more about what you subtract. If you take out half the toxic shit you're putting in your body, that's going to be a lot better in terms of return on investment than looking for the magic supplement, the magic training program, the magic solution. So nutrition is number one. Second one is environmental toxins. So this is where food quality kind of relates to food again. It's like food quality. So, you know, things like pesticides, herbicides, glyphosate, pollutants, things that are in our food, in our water that we might not be aware of. 9 times out of 10, when I have this conversation with people, it's their light bulb moment. They go, oh, what? Like, I didn't even think about the household products I'm using or the skincare products I'm using or the cleaning products I'm using, the dishwasher detergent, the laundry detergent, the spray and wipe, my deodorant, my face cream, my shampoo, my conditioner, fruits and vegetables that I'm purchasing. So like these little things are only 1%, but they start to summate really fast and they can create a lot of extra demand in your body to clear toxins. Now, I'm not saying these things are going to kill you, but if we increase significantly toxic exposure from all these different areas of our life, yes, your body has a liver and a detox system that we can clear stuff, but it's like any other system. It only has so much threshold before it starts to get overloaded, exhausted, and we start to get breakdown. So there is the argument out there where people go, oh, detox is bullshit. Like, you have a liver, liver does all the detox for you. Yes, it does. It detoxes, but if your liver has the capacity for this much and you're exposing it to double that on a daily basis, then eventually something's got to give. So environmental toxins, household products, under training, so sedentary activity, so people who are inactive, this is going to increase chances of things like cardiovascular disease, diabetes, metabolic syndrome. Overtraining is a big one that people don't consider as well. So overtraining is just as big of a risk factor, if not more. And a lot of people I see who are high achievers like you, it's like, hey, I'm doing CrossFit 6 times a week, and then I'm doing 2 extra weightlifting sessions, and then 2 extra gymnastic sessions, and then 2 extra conditioning sessions. And it's like, this is very catabolic in nature. I'm not saying don't train, but if you are doing excessive amounts of training, that is going to be catabolic and be a stressor on the body. So training is something we look at as well, which I think is something that gets missed in conventional medicine, where it's like you see a naturopath or a dietitian or a GP, and a lot of them, unless they do train themselves, they don't have a great understanding of how training actually influences these systems. And it's all very hyper-focused on nutrition supplementation. We kind of miss a big part of the thing that's creating the stress, which is training. And the last two are circadian rhythm, which is our sleep cycle. So things like sunlight exposure and all the things that go into circadian rhythm. So understanding melatonin, cortisol, caffeine, sunlight, and their relationships. And infections, which is a big one that we've talked about. So infections that people might not be aware of 9 times out of 10 that they have an infection, because all of these infections we call stealth infections. So stealth meaning we kind of don't see them, we don't know about them. You know, if you ask someone, how do you feel? I feel fine. And then you look at their blood work or their stool test or their symptom questionnaire, and it's like, you've definitely got an infection. You've had it for so long that you now feel normal, but you've forgotten what optimal feels like. And it's not till they feel like they're optimal and they deal with it, they go, oh my God, I was operating at 60%, not 100%.
Yeah. And that's it. It's the frog in boiling water sort of comes to mind there. It's like it slowly gets there until you're like, fucked, and you don't realize the contrast. I resonate, obviously, that I think that's a big thing that I'm going to be experiencing with you, where it's like, I feel like I'm relatively healthy. Like, I train most days, I take supplements, but it's like some days, like, I just feel like there's more. It's kind of like going economy to first class. Like, fuck, I didn't realize this was an option. It's like, fuck, I've been flying first class for economies for so long. So, so to read that back, there's mental, which is sort of the mental stress, which is probably more my world that I love living in. Diet, nutrition, environmental, undertraining, overtraining, circadian rhythm, and infections. Love it. Love it. Any I'd love to know your thoughts. You've kind of alluded to a couple of them. What's more, so without, you can go conspiracy if you want, but what's some of the bigger broken parts of the traditional medical system? So what, like I remember, I don't, I think it's gone now, like the food pyramid, but that old, I remember that in school. I've done my PT certs back in the day. But yeah, what's some of the broken things about the system that really sets us up for disease and failure, lack of health, and lack of vitality?
Yeah, it's an interesting topic.
Take notes, please.
I think there's a few different things. Like, I think number one is just education is the biggest thing. Like, you know, if you, anyone listening to this, like, how much did you get educated at school around nutrition, diet, food prep, you know, which is a big thing as well. People think it's just nutrition and diet. It's like, if you don't know how to cook food, prepare food, look after food, that's also just as important. And, you know, one in three people I speak to have no idea how to cook properly or look after themselves in the kitchen. So, you know, it's one thing knowing about the quality of food you're buying. It's the second thing knowing how to prepare the food, store the food, et cetera. So that's a big thing is education, both in school and even in uni. Like I did osteo, obviously osteos. Yeah, we fix back pain. We fix traditionally musculoskeletal pain, but we did one unit of nutrition throughout the entire course. And yeah, if you speak to doctors also do around one or two units of nutrition throughout their entire doctorate degree. So I think nutrition and diet as a whole is not something that's very well educated in the system. And therefore it leads to, you know, a lot of the issues we're seeing today with health issues, like the food you put in your mouth is going to be the first thing that either heals you or creates these, you know, diseases long-term. So I think that's the first big thing. And the second thing is just I'm not here to shit on the medical model. I think the medical model is good. People just confuse it for what it's good for. It's like, if you, you know, what's that analogy? If you judge a fish's ability to climb a tree, it's going to think it's done forever. Probably butchered it, something like that. Yeah. And in this scenario, it's like, yeah, if you judge the medical systems by its ability to make people healthy, then you're going to say the medical system is trash. The medical system is designed to keep you alive and prevent death. It's not designed to make you have optimal health. So it's like, if I was to, you know, touch wood, you know, I get hit by a car tomorrow, or I have some sort of severe medical condition happen, I have a heart attack, you know, I do have advanced cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, I have some of these like chronic conditions, and something happens and I'm like going to emergency, then yes, I love the medical system. Medical system is going to keep me alive and they're really good at doing it. But what they're not going to do is make me achieve optimal health in the first place. So it's very like reactive management versus like proactive prevention, which is where I guess the two different models come in at, like, well, we've got functional medicine, which is very focused on like prevention. This is, you know, naturopathy, dietitians, nutritionists, generally health coaches. And then we've got GPs, medical model, which again, there's good ones in there that do this as well. But as a general whole, it's very much focused on management of chronic disease. So if you're already at that point where you've got a problem, we're just going to help suppress that problem and keep you alive as long as possible. Now, without sounding too conspiracy theorist, I think as with anything in life, if we follow the money, we usually find a lot of solutions. Now, what's going to make more money? Me fixing someone me preventing and fixing someone that has chronic disease in 12 months, or that person not getting fixed and spending the next 40 years buying a subscription medication? You can make up your own conclusion from that. But I think if we follow the money, again, it's like it's going to become a serious problem when you have people that are helping people naturally come off medication or naturally prevent, you know, stop them from getting the point of having medication. And I'll probably get in a lot of trouble for saying this, but I think at the end of the day, you know, 1 + 1 = 2.
Beautiful. Man, just sit with it for a bit. So I remember, I think Peter Crone talks about, I'm a big fan of Peter Crone, and he's obviously very mental based, but he's also got his Ayurvedic sort of views on health. And he's like, we don't have a healthcare system, we have a sick care system. So look after us for when we're sick. But there's the best business model and the biggest addiction is something that always almost works, where it's like, it won't make you optimal, but it will keep you from dying. So it's like, that's a really good business model rather than, okay, well, let's get you healthy and optimal for life. And so yeah, that sort of comes to mind as you said that, man. So
yeah, like business-wise, you think about it, it's like easy versus hard. Getting answers is hard. Like when I went through my own journey, you know, $10,000, couple of years, lots of supplements, lots of different practitioners, lots of effort, lots of sacrifice. that's not pretty. It's expensive. It's hard. There's a lot of time investment, money investment versus take the pill. It's $20 a week, low investment, no effort. You know, it's like Alex Hormozy's value equation.
I was just thinking of that as
like low effort, you know, time delay, high perceived value, and we've got high chance of success. Yeah, or dream outcome, which is in this case kind of like not dying or you know, prevention of getting worse. So I think you combine that, you know, sort of fear, ease of access, low monetary investment, for a lot of people it's going to be a much easier option than like, hey man, let's spend 12 to 18 months and close to $10,000 to get you to a state of optimal health. Most people who I talk to, like, fortunately, you know, pretty switched on and they want this help. That's why they reach out to me. But, you know, when I first started and I wasn't I wasn't getting as many referrals, I wasn't as well known in this space, I'd be like trying to convince someone to do this, like, oh, but no, I just want to feel better in 12 weeks and lose weight. You know, it's a lot easier to say that than it is to tell someone it's going to take 18 months to reverse their insert condition.
Yeah. Alpha man. What do you do on a daily basis? So what are things that people do, go through what you do, and if maybe there's some extras or tips you can throw in there as well, that people can actually do daily? Because it's like, okay, that sounds great. I'm going to work on my stress, my diet, my environmental, my undertraining, overtraining, circadian rhythm, and infections. I'm going to not wait for the medical system to make me healthy because they're going to stop me from dying, which plays its part. But what can I do today? So I've just listened to this great podcast. I'm going to go do some grocery shopping today. I'm going to set myself up for the week. What are things that you do, and maybe some extra tips that people can do right now to actually improve their habits, their routines for their health?
Yeah, 100%. My top 10, first thing is the quality, like good quality water, hydration. Hydration is one of the biggest things. So, you know, having access to good quality water, and these days it is pretty simple. There's a lot of companies out there that do it. So what you're looking for is going to be water that is reverse osmosis and remineralized. If you can't get it because of cost or because of access, you know, the simplest option would be go out and buy the water from Puro, which is reverse osmosis. It's about 75 cents a liter. Won't get it as cheaper than anywhere else. Chuck some extra minerals in it. So salt, lemon, lime is a great option. Start your morning with a big glass of water and make sure you're getting some solid minerals in. So I think a lot of people are dehydrated and deficient in things like magnesium and sodium, potassium. So yeah, number one, there we go, big sip of water. Number one is, yeah, good quality water, and a good quality water filter if you can, if it is feasible for your lifestyle right now. Second thing is sleep. So, you know, obviously this is a pretty obvious one. Everyone hears it before, but, you know, it's quality of sleep as well. So being as consistent as you can with your sleep wake cycle is going to help with things like deep sleep, where we repair our tissue, and REM sleep, where we repair our brain. So if you ask someone that struggles with memory and brain fog and some of these more cognitive issues, and usually it's indication that we don't have enough REM sleep. REM sleep happens earlier on in our sleep. So getting to bed before 10 p.m. Consistently is going to help with that. And being consistent with your sleep wake cycle. So I always say my rule is try and keep your sleep wake cycle between 30 minutes during the week. So between 8 and 8:30 is when I'm going to bed, and between 4 and 4:30 is when I'm waking up, or whatever suits you. And then on the weekend, we only differ from that by 1 hour. So we give ourselves a bit of buffer on the weekend. We might have some fun. That's really going to help you set that circadian rhythm, which is going to help with your recovery, both from a tissue perspective. So if you're somebody who trains hard and you want to recover, but also if you're, you know, a business owner, a high level person who wants their brain to be as functional as possible, then that's something I would do as well. Weight training, 2 to 4 times a week minimum. You know, train your body. It's great for your mental health, great for your joints, great for every aspect of your life. Great for preventing a lot of the metabolic diseases out there. So weight training, lifting heavy weights, building strength every week. And when I say heavy weights, I'm talking lower rep ranges, adding some weight to the bar, progressive overload each week, do your compound movements. You know, it's going to be a great way to improve anabolic pathways in the body and prevent us from overtraining with crazy amounts of volume, crazy amounts of intensity, where we can become quite catabolic. So that'd be the third one. Fourth one, nutrition, we already touched on. Whole foods. If you're not sure where to start, I have a document I can send through to you. You can share with your followers. But a great place to start is going to be red meat, eggs, fresh fruit and veg, you know, honey, rice, potato, insert a few extra things of choice. Yeah, if you grocery basket looks like that every week, then you're off to a good start. we don't need to complicate it. I think having single use ingredients and then being creative with how we use those ingredients is going to be an easy way to start getting a wide variety of macros, but also a wide variety of micros as well.
Beautiful.
If you have access to it again, hot and cold therapy is great for both our nervous system, our lymphatic system, and our immune system. So if you have access to it, awesome. Infrared sauna, ice bath. If you don't have access to it, good old-fashioned hot and cold shower, in the morning to start your day, going to make you feel a lot better. Natural endorphins, dopamine, feel-good hormones, also going to be great for those systems I mentioned before. So we can start our day with a couple of minutes in the shower. In terms of nervous system regulation, some stuff you would touch on, things that we can do daily that are free: breath work, meditation, and grounding. So, morning routine for someone who's short on time, it could be something simple like do 3 minutes of breath work, download that with the Wim Hof app for free, do one round, takes about 3 minutes, dive straight into a little meditation or just sitting in stillness for a few minutes after the breath work, then jump into your cold shower and get yourself up and ready to go. Yeah, that's a routine that will take you 9 minutes and you can start your day. Get outside, get some sunlight in your eyes, sunlight exposure, get your feet on the ground. That's going to help with significantly help with your circadian rhythm and also with your nervous system. And the last one will be connection, fun and play, as you would probably talk about a lot. I think a lot of people are very focused on their mission and their business and they forget to do fun stuff and chill out. So, if we're always on 24/7, it's going to really keep us in a very, very sympathetic stress state. So making sure we have time for friends, family, connection, nature, getting outside, doing some stuff that doesn't involve being switched on all the time is definitely going to help you to operate a little bit more relaxed and not be stuck in that sympathetic state.
Beautiful, man. What ones have you, in terms of morning routines, and this is probably just more of a personal question, what's the things that have stayed consistent? Because I'm in the self-development space and you got to get fucking nail your morning routine, you got to do cold shower, you got to do meditation, visualization, you got to take these supplements, you got to fast, you got to train, you got to do all of this shit. And 100 push-ups, I tried that for a bit, that was shit. It's like you got to do 100 push-ups when you wake up. What has stayed consistent with your morning routine? Because I've chopped and changed. I'm pretty consistent now. Like I'll wake up, I've got my concoction that I've sent you, my supplements, my salts, my waters in the morning. I'll scull water before I have that. I've got my clothes laid out. I'll train in the morning, do some podcasts, listen to some self-development. And that's kind of me, that I'm pretty fluid from there. But yeah, is there things that you do consistently from a morning routine that really sets people up? Because I find if you have a really good start to your day, generally that will carry on. If you have a shit start to your day, it's generally a bit harder to turn that around. So yeah. Any things that have worked really well for you that you've tried that you don't longer do, or you've always done it because it's just always worked for you? Any more thoughts on morning routines?
Yeah, I think number one is your morning routine should make you feel refreshed and make you feel motivated for the day. It shouldn't make you feel anxious, stressed, and be taking too much away from you. So I think sometimes it's like you can look into these morning routines and you're like, they're so excessive and it takes an hour to do it, and then it becomes a stressor rather than a stress relief. So I think short and simple is number one rule. It shouldn't really take longer than 15 minutes in terms of your routine. If you have the luxury of time, you work from home, you're like you and me, you have your own business and you have a bit more flexibility, awesome. For most people who have to get up and go to work early, they might only have 5 or 15 minutes. So whatever works for you is completely fine. Start with that. I think there is obviously individualization as well. Some people love meditating, some people hate meditating. So I think there's a bit of an aspect of play around and find out what works for you. What works for me and what I like is the combination I mentioned before. So doing the breath work, doing the meditation, jumping in the ice bath. I'm fortunate to live in Gold Coast like you are. So getting outside first thing in the morning as well and getting some sunlight and going for a walk is something important to me. So usually I'll wake up, first thing I'll do is I'll go for a walk on the beach. Usually the sun's up nice and early. Delay my coffee for the first hour. You don't have to, but I find that I just feel better and I operate better not having caffeine first thing in the morning. And a lot of people will resonate with that. So morning walk for about half an hour, come back, breath work, meditation, ice bath. And then something I haven't been doing, but I'm going to start doing again, which I find just helps my brain get going, is some morning cardio. So it doesn't have to be intense. I'm actually looking at getting a salt bike in my backyard. Impulsive. I find 15-20 minutes of just like some low to moderate intensity cardio, not trying to thrash myself, just trying to get some blood flow, just trying to get my brain going. I find from a business owner point of view, just helps get my brain in a much better zone where I feel like I'm more creative and I'm more better or from a cognitive point of view. So yeah, if it's probably that whole routine would probably take me like 45 minutes, and really that's including the bike ride. So if I'm not doing the bike ride, it's a 30-minute walk, you know, and doing that. One thing I forgot to mention would be the hydration, which you mentioned before. So hydration, I always start before I go for my morning walk. First thing is big glass of water, creatine, electrolytes, full vicumic minerals, which are great, and a bit of Celtic salt down that start of the day. So always hydrate before you caffeinate is my rule to myself and all my clients. Try and delay that first caffeine by now.
Beautiful, man. Love it. Man, what do you think about that you don't talk about very often? Now, go take that wherever you want to.
What do I think about that I don't talk about very often? Yeah, I'm pretty out there, right? Speak my mind.
Anything that you don't talk about as often as you think about?
You got me there, man.
Man, circle back. I'll give you some time. We'll do another question. We'll come back to that one. Man, are you gonna write a book, first off? Are you gonna write a book?
I remember you asked me this when we first spoke a few weeks ago, and it's not even something that's crossed my mind, but I feel like I definitely would be open to it naturally. I feel like it's a bit of a progression. Like I've made some courses, I've got a lot of course content there, a lot of resources across different platforms and whatnot. So yeah, it would probably make sense to consolidate my thoughts and my brain and all my knowledge and education into one nice condensed resource. But yeah, it hasn't crossed my mind.
Right. Say you write a book. And you can only, it's the only piece of knowledge you can pass on to the world, to your family, to whoever you want to leave it to. And you can only leave three lessons in said book. What's going to be those lessons?
Three lessons, eh? So number one is, sounds funny, the first one came to my mind, fuck around and find out.
Beautiful. Love it.
It's been my motto for most of my life. Number two would be willing to invest. And number three would be your health is your wealth.
Beautiful. Why did you say each of those?
I think those resonate with me and how I live my life. I think I've always been the type of person that I'm not scared to go for something and try something. I don't have all the answers and half the time don't have a clue, but I'm always the type of person that will give it a crack, and I feel like that's been a strength of mine in finding out sort of what I want to do and getting to the point where I'm at. I've tried a lot of things and failed a lot of things, but fallen forward. Second one, essentially, what was investment. Yeah, so in second one being investment, I've probably spent a few nice house deposits on personal development. Sure that you've done as well, but again, if you're scared to invest, you're usually going to be stuck in the same position you are in 12 months time. So I think don't be scared to invest into mentors, coaches, courses to help you get to where you want to get to. My, I guess a better way of saying that would be, my view is always find the person that is at your point B and go and seek that person out and pay them as much money as possible to help you get from your point A to their point B. And that's always something I've done. Who's the expert in this area? Who are they? How do I get access to them? What do I need to pay? What do I need to do? And that's going to be gallery learning tenfold.
Beautiful.
And then the third one,
health is wealth, or health is priority.
Health is wealth, which is pretty much my life. I think having gone through the state of health I went through in 2020, has really like highlighted, you know, the importance of health. Up until that point, I was very just like smashing training and, you know, probably not doing the healthiest things in my life and never had a problem. And yeah, because it wasn't a problem, I never saw it as a problem. But having gone through that in 2020 really was a bit of a reality check of, fuck, if you don't have your health, business is going down the drain, relationships going down the drain, your confidence, your self-worth is going down the drain. So health is wealth. Health is always going to be my number one priority. And then business, relationships, everything else comes after that, which might sound selfish to some people listening, but I think, again, if you don't prioritize yourself and your own health, then your business, your relationships are going to be a reflection of that.
Absolutely, man. I'm going to take two on that question. What do you think about a lot that you don't talk about as often? What do you ponder on? What goes inside Daniel's head?
To be honest, the universe.
Oh, there we go.
Which sounds a bit vague, but yeah, like I was always super fascinated and nerdy And even now, probably, yeah, to be honest, I haven't thought about it until you said it. But yeah, like going through high school and primary school, I was always super fascinated in the universe and the galaxy. And I would always nerd out on books and documentaries about space and planets and Big Bang. And
same.
Yeah, it's something fascinating. I think it's just like the unknown, and it's like so big and you just never have any answers. It's pretty crazy to think about.
Yeah, I love consciousness. That's I've categorized one of my values as consciousness, and that's where I can see health obviously plays a part of that. Like we are energy, and the energy that flows through you. So, and we're like a portal to download, I guess, from a mental spiritual aspect. So, mate, awesome, beautiful answer. Do you have any questions that you're wanting to answer when it comes to universal consciousness, the universe itself? Is there anything that ponders your mind that you think about?
I guess this is similar to most people. Eh? People will be like, what else is out there? How did everything begin? Like, obviously, there's a theories about how things began, but it's like, how do you prove these things when it's like,
so give me the evidence.
Yeah, like my brain's naturally like, I get the Big Bang Theory, but like, how do we know when it was like, how do you know that happened a million years ago? You watch these documentaries and it's like, these two things collided and we know, and it's like, there were thousands of light years away. I'm like, but how did you know? It's like almost like a maths teacher when the student gives you the right answer and you're like, but show me you're working out. How'd you get to this point?
Love it, man. Really love it. Mate, if someone wants to work with you, if they're interested in your content, subscribe for some more content, grab that ebook as well off you. Where's the best place they can find you?
Yeah, man. So if they're a coach or practitioner, totally forgot to mention at the start, I also do some education, run some mentorship programs for coaches, practitioners, so osteo, physio, chiro, PT, health coach. So yeah, if you are a coach and you want to learn more about the philosophies, I guess, of rehabilitation and health, or you're a person looking to optimize your health and manage a health condition, both of those pathways would be best to reach out via Instagram, which is at dr.daniel.kirkbride, or at Movement Medicine on Instagram. And all the details are on there.
Mate, any final words, any final message that you want to share with the world?
I was going to say health is wealth, but I can't really say that.
Give us one more. One more. What's another message you want to leave?
One message. I would say, oh man, you got me on the spot here, eh?
Mate, that's what we're here. We're in the pressure cooker, mate. It's like that table tennis.
Pressure cooker, yeah. I don't do well. One message I want to leave with the world. Sounds corny, but I'd say give love and be open to helping people.
Beautiful, man. Love it, man. Thank you for being here today. I appreciate your time. Guys, go check out Daniel's stuff. If you got value from this, share this with a friend. And mate, thank you for being here today.
Thank you very much, man. Good to have you.